Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, November 21st. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, A&M, average home price in Midland County tops $446,000. Real Estate Center. Records set in October for average median prices for homes sold. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. New home prices records were set in Midland County during the month of October, according to the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. Texas A&M reported the average home price rose to $446,977, which beat the previous record, $421,011, set in June. A new record for median price for a home sold also was established as Midland County went over the $350,000 mark for the first time. The Texas A&M Real Estate Center reported the median price for a home sold was $364,500, which beat the previous record, $345,000, set three times, most recently in September. So far, higher interest rates are having no impact on prices people are paying for residential real estate inside Midland County. Texas A&M reported October was the 62nd straight month that the average price for a home sold in Midland County topped $300,000, a streak that goes back to September 2018. The average also had topped $380,000 for eight straight months. The median price of a home sold in Midland County reached $300,000 for the 29th straight month. Texas A&M also reported higher interest rates in 2023 isn't impacting sales. The Real Estate Center also showed 198 homes sold in October, which was a 22.9% increase compared to October 2022. It has topped $329,000 for eight straight months. By comparison, the larger metropolitan county with the next largest median price in October was Randall County, some of Amarillo and Canyon, at $280,000. The median price for a home sold in Ector County was $250,000. Median prices of homes sold in October around West Texas included $260,000 in El Paso County, $247,500 in Lubbock County, $246,000 in Tom Green County, San Angelo, and $240,000 in Taylor County, Abilene. Supply is likely a factor in the higher price being paid in Midland, as the 509 homes available at the end of the month was the fewest in October since October 2018, 392. The information is consistent with information from the Texas Realtors Association, which showed Midland with a $340,000 median price of a home sold in the third quarter and a drop of 24.3% drop in listings compared to the same period in 2022. This article is called Fast Facts, 12th Annual Midland Turkey Trot by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. Put on your running shoes and grab your vests, because the 12th Annual Turkey Trot takes place Thanksgiving morning. This year's race benefits Andy's Hope, an adoption agency, with a mission to help women facing crisis pregnancy to have a voice for their and their child's future. The organization also prioritizes adoption over the Texas foster care system. Learn more about Andy's Hope at www.andyshope.org. Participants can endure a 5K or 10K. There's also a kids' fun run. Athletes can run or walk, can create teams with friends or family, and will receive a run shirt, depending on sign-up date. The price for the 10K costs $35 per participant, $25 for the 5K, and $10 for the fun run. Sign up and register at https://bit.ly/3QMIZQQ. The event runs, no pun intended, from 7 to 11 a.m. The starting line is at Memorial Stadium, 2091 West Cuthbert Avenue. This article is entitled Midland Leads Nation in Per Capita Personal Income. Midland MSA tops San Jose, Sunnyvale, Santa Clara, California, Naples, Marco Island, Florida. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland is again the nation's leader in per capita personal income, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The Bureau reported last week that per capita personal income in the Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area jumped from $123,682 in 2021 to $143,728 in 2022. Midland topped San Jose, Sunnyvale, Santa Clara, California, $141,516, and Naples, Marco Island, Florida, $131,160. The national average was $65,470. It was the second time in 3 years Midland ranked number one in the nation. 2020 was the other year. In 2021, Midland ranked third. Per capita income in Midland was $141,994 in 2019 and $106,217 in 2020. The Bureau of Economic Analysis also showed the Midland MSA was the only MSA with percentage growth above 10%. The BEA showed Midland's percentage growth was 16.2%. Second in the nation was Harrisonburg, Virginia, 7.1%. Odessa was eighth on the list at 5.2%. The national average was 1.6%. Midland leads Texas for county per capita personal income. Midland topped the list of Texas counties in 2022, but was 10th across the nation for per capita personal income, according to the Bureau. An MSA is not always the same thing as a county. For instance, the MSA also includes Martin County. The BEA showed per capita income of $145,089 in Midland County, which was better than number two Loving County, $141,373, and number three Glasscock, $122,894. Across the nation, Teton, Wyoming was rated first with per capita income of $406,054. Summit, Utah, $225,996, and Pitkin, Colorado, $217,482, rounded out the top three. The Bureau of Economic Analysis reported that personal income, quote, in current dollars, increased in 1,964 counties, decreased in 1,107, and was unchanged in 43 counties in 2022, unquote, and that, quote, in metropolitan counties, the percent change in personal income ranged from 19% in Midland County to -16.8% in Crosby County, also in Texas. Per capita personal income in 2022. Top 10 in the U.S. Midland, San Jose, Sunnyvale, Santa Clara, California, Naples, Marco Island, Florida, Bridgeport, Stamford, Norwalk, Connecticut, San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, California, Sebastian, Vero Beach, Florida, Boulder, Colorado, Boston, Cambridge, Newton, Massachusetts, Seattle, Tacoma, Bellevue, Washington, Napa, California. Per capita personal income in 2022 by county. In the U.S., Teton, Wyoming, Summit, Utah, Pitkin, Colorado, New York, New York, San Mateo, California, Marin, California, Blaine, Idaho, San Francisco, California, Bristol Bay Borough, Alaska, Midland, Texas. This article is entitled Midlander Appointed to Dallas Fed's El Paso Board by Mella McEwen, business editor. Midlander James Walter has been appointed by the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas to its El Paso branch board of directors. He will serve a 3-year term starting January 1, 2024. In his role as a board member, Walter will provide input into the region's economy in support of the Federal Reserve's monetary policy function. Walter is co-chief executive officer and a director of Permian Resources Corporation and has served in that capacity since September 2022. Prior to the formation of Permian Resources in 2022, he served as co-chief executive officer of Colgate Energy, which he co-founded in 2015. Permian Resources was formed as the product of a merger between Centennial Resource Development and Colgate Energy. The Dallas Fed's El Paso Branch Board consists of 7 members, 4 appointed by the Dallas Fed, and 3 appointed by the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in Washington, D.C. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled Oil Extends Advance as Traders Increase Bets by Mia Gindes and Grant Smith, Bloomberg. Oil extended gains as traders boosted bets that the OPEC Plus alliance will intervene in the market to bolster prices. West Texas Intermediate rose 2.3% to settle above $77 on speculation that Saudi Arabia and its allies may deepen production cuts when they gather on November 26th. The commodity erased more than 50 cents in gains in the minutes before the market closed as traders engaged in late-day profit-taking. Earlier in the session, the dollar weakened to the lowest level since September, making commodities priced in the currency more attractive. The U.S. benchmark crude futures December expiry on Monday also contributed to high volatility. Crude is down 3.3% for the year, following a run of 4 weekly losses that were driven by concerns about robust supplies outside the OPEC Plus coalition. Hedge funds have slashed their bets on oil to the least bullish in 20 weeks amid large inventory builds. Meanwhile, U.S. crude's weakening time spreads flashed signs of oversupply in a bearish market structure called contango. Brent also ended the session with shorter-dated contracts trading at a discount to longer-dated ones. To shore up sentiment, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allies are expected to at least reaffirm existing production quotas for 2024. Group leader Saudi Arabia is widely predicted to extend its extra 1 million barrel a day cutback into early next year. We're retracing some of the losses last week on ideas the sell-off by fund liquidation was probably over-exaggerated, said Dennis Kistler, Senior Vice President for Trading at BOK Financial Securities. The possibility of extended cuts following the upcoming OPEC Plus meeting is keeping the buyers present today. In the Middle East, meanwhile, shipping risks were in focus after a Japanese chartered vessel was seized in the Red Sea by Iran-backed Houthi rebels. Tokyo-based Nippon Yusen KK said the Galaxy Leader, a vehicle carrier, was taken in the southern part of the waterway on Sunday. This article is entitled P&Z OK's Change for Future Housing Development in West Midland by Mella McEwen, business editor. Plans for a future housing development in West Midland received approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission on Monday, but not without some discussion. By a vote of 6-1, commissioners approved a request by Robert Graham for a zone change from RR, Regional Retail District, to SF1, Single Family Dwelling District, on a 3.86-acre tract at Castlewood Drive and Homeland Drive. Graham was proposing lot sizes for residential use that did not meet the standards of the Regional Retail District, thus the request for the zone change. Commissioner Stephen Viella raised concerns about the tract's proximity to Wadley Avenue and noted it would be located near the back of the proposed Zoo Midland. He ultimately voted against the request. Maverick Engineering received unanimous approval for its request for a zone change from SF2, Single Family Dwelling District, to O1, Office District, to convert the property at 4001 Illinois Avenue to a Veterans Affairs Counseling Center. The property is currently the location of a church. Commissioners also approved unanimously Maverick Engineering's request for a zone change from PD, Planned Development District, for an office center to O1, Office District, for the property at 1011 West Texas Avenue to develop an office building. A request by Xufang Lin for a specific use designation for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant at Sumo Sushi Hibachi, 4706 North Midkiff Road, was approved. The restaurant is in operation from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday, from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and from noon to 9 p.m. Sunday. Alcohol service hours would be the same. This article is entitled What's Open, Closed in Midland on Thanksgiving Day by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Midland retailers and stores open on Thanksgiving. Grocery stores, HEB, West Wadley Avenue, 6 a.m. to noon, Andrews Highway, 6 a.m. to noon. Dollar stores, Dollar Tree, 4312 West Loop 250, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 2300 North Big Spring Street, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1000 North Midkiff Road, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 2306 Rankin Highway, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Family Dollar, 1024 Andrews Highway, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., 1801 North Big Spring Street, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., 3100 Antelope Trail, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., 2107 Rankin Highway, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., 3000 North Lamesa Road, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., 3303 West Illinois Avenue, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Big Lots, 4715 Billingsley Boulevard, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Dollar General. All Dollar General locations are open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Thanksgiving. Pharmacy. CVS Pharmacy, 301 Andrews Highway. Store is open 24 hours. Pharmacy open from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Minute Clinic closed. 3200 North Big Spring Street, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., pharmacy closed. 5315 Briarwood Avenue, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., pharmacy opened 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Minute Clinic closed. closed on Thanksgiving. Target, Market Street, Walmart, Ross Dress for Less, Midland Park Mall, TJ Maxx, Kohl's, Men's Warehouse, Best Buy, Ashley Furniture, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Walgreens, United Supermarkets, Natural Grocers. This is the Life Tributes column. Fred France, Jr., June 19, 1939 to October 28, 2023. Fred France, Jr. entered heaven on October 28th, surrounded by family and caregivers. He was welcomed to heaven by his sons, who preceded him in death in 2021 and 2022, Michael and John France. He leaves behind his wife of 55 years, Linda France, his children, Dwayne and Tanya France, Cynthia and Chris Gomez Brooks, 9 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. There will not be a formal service. However, if you wish to honor him, please make a contribution to the Alzheimer's Association. Cremation arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Cecil B. C.B. Ellis, January 18, 1931 to November 12, 2023. Cecil B. C.B. Ellis, 92 of Midland, went to his reward peacefully on Sunday, November 12th, surrounded by his 3 loving sons. Cecil was born in Dublin, Texas, on January 18, 1931, to Earl Washington Ellis Sr. and Thelma Alston Ellis. Cecil married the love of his life, the former Nancy Blackley, on September 13, 1958. After almost 50 years of marriage, he illustrated to all of us the true meaning of in sickness and in health until death do us part, while caring for Nancy until she passed away after a 2-year battle with cancer on August 28, 2008, 16 days shy of their 50th wedding anniversary. Cecil is survived by his 3 sons and their families, Colonel Earl Brian Ellis, USAF retired, Barb, Edwin Lee Ellis, Tracy, and Bradley Wayne Ellis, Amanda. He will also be missed, but never forgotten, by his 8 granddaughters, as well as 8 great-grandchildren. The family held a private burial service on Friday, November 17th. A memorial service will be Saturday, November 25th at 3 p.m. at the Parks-Vaudrey Family Chapel at Manor Park, with a reception to follow. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations in memory of Cecil be made to Manor Park, Inc. in Midland, Hospice of Midland, or a charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Joe Ruiz, September 24, 1982 to November 17, 2023. Joe Louis Ruiz, 41 of Midland, passed away on November 17th in Midland. Joe Louis Ruiz was born in Odessa to Randy Ruiz Sr. and Elita Ellis on September 24, 1982. He was married to Joanne Alvarez Ruiz on April 26, 2021 in Odessa. He was the owner of JoJo Construction, DBA Midland Glass. Joe was preceded in death by his son, Joe Angel Ruiz, his brother Joshua Ruiz, his angel Mr. Peter Buck, father-in-law Jesus Gomez Alvarez, grandparents Sista and Fernando Ruiz. Joe is survived by his wife Joanne Alvarez Ruiz, children Carolyn K.K. Ruiz, Erica McGarity, husband Pete McGarity, Crystal Tijerina, Israel Tijerina, wife Mario Tijerina, and Hector Flores, as well as siblings Jason Yanez, wife Gloria Rosas, Randy Ruiz Jr., wife Joylyn Ruiz, Angelina Yanez, Crystal Ellis, Sarah Lujan, husband Steve Lujan, Nicholas Ruiz, wife Nicole Ruiz, Jessica Ruiz, husband Steve Garcia, father Randy Ruiz Sr., wife Dolores Barrera Rodriguez, mother-in-law Elida Ellis, mother-in-law Lupe Alvarez, as well as 7 grandchildren. Viewing will begin on Wednesday, November 22nd at Willowbrook Funeral Home from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. with a small service at 6 p.m. by Pastor James Williams. A reception will be held at 2 p.m. on Thursday, November 23rd at the downtown venue, 515 North Grant Avenue, Odessa, sponsored by friends and family. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m., officiated by his best friend Rudy Aguilar on Friday, November 24th at Willowbrook Funeral Home. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Garden. Arrangements are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. Iris Hammond. Iris Hammond, 92, of Midland, passed away November 17th. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, November 21st at Nally Pickle & Wells Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Next steps for bond preps. The next steps for bond 2023 will take shape very quickly, one of 3 propositions passed November 7th. There are 2 immediate priorities. One is to lay out a timeline for both the bigger construction projects, new middle school, new CTE center, etc., and the smaller projects, middle school bleachers, new instruments, etc. The plan is for this to be a 5-year bond, and the goal will be to stick to that schedule, that plan, timeline, and an updated bond web page will be ready in January, the district newsletter said. 2 is to set up a bond oversight committee of community members. The plan is for each of the 7 members of the Board of Trustees to submit a list of names for the committee by the December 5th workshop. The following week, on December 12th, the school board members will vote to appoint 10 of those people to the committee. This advisory group will meet quarterly until all bond projects are completed. It has been more than a decade since ECISD was in this position, the newsletter said. The last bond passed in 2012. Angel Tree program kicks off. The Salvation Army of Odessa on Monday announced the kickoff of its annual Angel Tree program. The program provides toys and clothing to children whose families are facing financial difficulties. Thanks to the generosity of the community, 600 children will experience the joy of opening presents on Christmas morning. The Salvation Army Angel Tree program provides toys and clothing to children and families who might be struggling to afford Christmas gifts this year. Captain Stephanie Vincent of the Salvation Army of Odessa said in a news release, "Angels are available for adoption by community members and businesses who play a significant role in bringing joy to children's hearts this Christmas. The angel tree can be found at Walmart on John Ben Shepherd, and angels are also available at the Salvation Army office located at 810 East 11th Street during the holiday season. Individuals and businesses in the community can adopt angels, represented by paper angels on trees. Each angel symbolizes a child who might not receive a gift at Christmas without this program. Angels are now available for adoption, and gifts should be returned by December 9th, with distribution to participating families taking place on December 18th. If you cannot shop in person this year, you can still participate in the Angel Tree program through Walmart's Registry for Good program. Visit www.salvationarmyodessa.org and select Purchase a Gift for a Precious Angel on the homepage to order items that benefit local families. Walmart will deliver these gifts directly to the Salvation Army. Ways to help the Salvation Army Angel Tree: adopt an angel at Walmart, host an angel tree at your business or church, volunteer for the Salvation Army Angel Tree program. For more information, contact Captain Stephanie Vincent at stephanie.vincent@uss.salvationarmy.org or call 432-332-0738. We are forever grateful for the generous support for our community, local businesses, and volunteers who work alongside the Salvation Army, added Vincent. Together, we are making the season brighter for people in need in our community. If you are interested in supporting the Angel Tree program or volunteering to ring the bell, call the Salvation Army at 432-332-0738. Visit us at 810 East 11th Street, or go to www.salvationarmyodessa.org. Angel Tree program kicks off. The Salvation Army of Odessa on Monday announced the kickoff of its annual Angel Tree program. The program provides toys and clothing to children whose families are facing financial difficulties. Thanks to the generosity of the community, 600 children will experience the joy of opening presents on Christmas morning. The Salvation Army Angel Tree program provides toys and clothing to children and families who might be struggling to afford Christmas gifts this year. Captain Stephanie Vincent of the Salvation Army of Odessa said in a news release, "Angels are available for adoption by community members and businesses who play a significant role in bringing joy to children's hearts this Christmas. The Angel Tree can be found at Walmart on John Bin Shepherd, and angels are also available at the Salvation Army office located at 810 East 11th Street during the holiday season. Individuals and businesses in the community can adopt angels, represented by paper angels on trees. Each angel symbolizes a child who might not receive a gift at Christmas without this program. Angels are now available for adoption, and gifts should be returned by December 9th, with distribution to participating families taking place on December 18th. If you cannot shop in person this year, you can still participate in the Angel Tree program through Walmart's Registry for Good program. Visit www.salvationarmyodessa.org and select Purchase a Gift for a Precious Angel on the homepage to order items that benefit local families. Walmart will deliver these gifts directly to the Salvation Army. Ways to help the Salvation Army Angel Tree: adopt an angel at Walmart, host an angel tree at your business or church, volunteer for the Salvation Army Angel Tree program. For more information, contact Captain Stephanie Vincent at stephanie.vincent@uss.salvationarmy.org or call 432-332-0738. We are forever grateful for the generous support for our community, local businesses, and volunteers who work alongside the Salvation Army, added Vincent. Together, we are making the season brighter for people in need in our community. If you are interested in supporting the Angel Tree program or volunteering to ring the bell, call the Salvation Army at 432-332-0738. Visit us at 810 East 11th Street, or go to www.salvationarmyodessa.org. Copper Key Helping Meals on Wheels Odessa kickoff Giving Tuesday. Meals on Wheels of Odessa has announced a partnership with Copper Key Realty of Odessa. Broker owner John Herriage is making a huge impact on senior hunger this holiday season by sponsoring a $50,000 matching opportunity. Everyone knows Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but add Giving Tuesday to your calendar because starting Tuesday, November 28th, all donations to Meals on Wheels of Odessa will be matched, a news release said. A kickoff celebration is scheduled for 10 a.m. November 29th at Meals on Wheels of Odessa, 1314 East 5th Street. Herriage will be on hand with Meals on Wheels Executive Director Craig Stoker to kick off the match. Choice Fair Expo coming up. Parents and families are invited to a Choice Fair Expo from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. December 7th at New Tech Odessa. The event will enable parents and students to learn more about the choice programs available at ECISD. Families will have the opportunity to meet choice school principals and learn about the unique programming. The high school application is currently open, and the elementary middle school application opens December 1st. Go to the ECISD Choice Schools webpage, https://www.ectorcountyisd.org/page/5528, to learn more about the application and lottery processes. Pflueger Talks speaker wins for GOP. U.S. Representative August Pflueger, Republican, Texas, on Monday covered a wide range of topics from energy security, debt, and the EPA to how the U.S. House got to the point of choosing Representative Mike Johnson, Republican, Louisiana, as the House Speaker. During his town hall in the Zant Room of the Salisbury Campus Center at Odessa College Monday, a packed house greeted Pflueger, a Republican from Texas District 11, which goes roughly from Killeen to Odessa and includes a little bit of Harker Heights and some of what's now called Fort Cavazos, previously Fort Hood. He presented former U.S. Marine W.T. Dub Riley with a flag he flew over the Capitol in Washington, D.C. in honor of Riley's military service. Riley also received a certificate from Pflueger. He also presented a certificate to Lionel Loya, Director of Facility Contracts at OC, for the work he has done behind the scenes, not only for the college, but the community. He talked about the inspiration they offered to the younger generations. Before taking questions, Pflueger made remarks. He gave a brief biology of Johnson and said he has invited him to come to the Permian Basin. Johnson grew up in northwest Louisiana and only wanted to be a fire chief. That was his dream job. In a way, he is a fire chief. He's in charge of the House of Representatives, where there's a fire every day, Pflueger said. This is a man of great integrity, great character, a husband, a father, a Christian, somebody who believes in the rule of law, who, I think, when he speaks with a little bit of a soft tone, very measured and calculated, the pace of his words, in a way, that maybe makes you question how strong he is, Pflueger said. He's very, very strong, very conservative. He is, I think, a believer in conservatism, fiscal responsibility, the rule of law. He's a constitutional scholar. He understands what the Constitution says, Pflueger said. The House went through multiple speaker candidates to replace Kevin McCarthy, Republican, California, such as Jim Jordan, Republican, Ohio, and Steve Scalise, Republican, Louisiana. Pflueger said McCarthy wasn't the most conservative member of Congress, but we had conservative conscience that was helping that, but we missed some of the warning signs. Passing appropriations bills on time. We've got to do that. We've got to change the way Washington works, and what you saw take place from September 30th to about a week and a half ago, was the turning and churning of the Republicans saying how we are going to do business. This isn't about one leader. The speaker makes a difference, but it's about serving our country, surviving. It's about making sure we're listening, he added. When he was in the Air Force, Pfluger said they had planned missions with many pieces and parts. If you didn't listen to one piece or part, then the whole mission would fall apart. I'm afraid that's what's happened. I'm not sure that under the previous speaker, we were listening to what the American public were really saying, and that's why we're here. What the public was saying was, if we're going to spend money on something, we need to know what it is. We need to know what the benefit is, and we need to know that it's going to be used to strengthen our economy, strengthen our national security, or strengthen us around the world in a way that is meaningful to us at home, Pfluger said. He said Johnson is in a honeymoon period right now, having been on the job about 3.5 weeks. Congress is going back next week, and we're going to continue to have these conversations. I'm concerned about the debt and deficit, our national security, energy security. Odessa, Texas has been assaulted by President Biden directly. I take that personally. I've gone up there with the mentality to fight back and to fight on behalf of all of you, all of us, everyone in this community who either is directly or indirectly involved in the energy business, which is a tool of national security, Pfluger said. Pfluger said the House has passed more appropriations bills this year than previous years combined. That is a good start, but it's not good enough. When you hear what our Republicans doing, it's not all doom and gloom. Yes, it needs to be better. Yes, we need to get our appropriations and budgeting process done sooner in a transparent way, Pfluger said. Pfluger said the House passed the most comprehensive energy security legislation in the history of Congress. As a member of the Energy and Commerce Committee, he has written several pieces of energy legislation, including repealing the natural gas tax that is very harmful to producers in this area, midstream production and refining. That included National Environmental Policy Act reform, which hadn't been reformed in 40 years. He added that they got multiple Democrats to vote for H.R. 1, contrasting that with Democrat Representative Nancy Pelosi's H.R. 1, Pfluger said, that was to federalize elections. Pfluger thanked State Senator Kevin Sparks, Republican, Midland, for his work on election integrity in Texas. Pfluger said this sets the way for the American public to have faith in the election process. The House passed a Parents' Bill of Rights so parents would know what their children are being taught in school. There's a lot of work to be done. It may appear that we are in chaos, and we have certainly had our fair share of back and forth because the approach to how we get there is important. But I want you to know that just as Republicans getting elected, we saved $7.5 trillion to be put into the economy. We actually cut spending by almost $2 trillion this year. That's important. We passed that and the president signed it into law, Pfluger said. We're not done cutting. This round of appropriations bills, I can promise you, will be the most conservative bills that you've ever seen. I'm telling you, in the history of Congress, we have not seen cuts like this like we're doing right now. We are trying our best to get that curve bent back down because what several four-star generals who are chairmen of the Joint Chiefs have said is the greatest threat to our country is not China. It is not Russia. It is not terrorism. It is our debt. We believe that, and Republicans are working on that. We're going to find a way to bend the curve and get that spending under control, but it is not going to happen overnight, Pfluger said. Murder charge against Reyes formally dismissed. It's official. The murder charge against James Reyes, who was exonerated last month in the 1981 death of a Catholic priest, has been dismissed. Court records released Sunday indicate Ector County District Court Den Whalen dismissed the charge November 7th. On October 4th, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals declared Reyes innocent of the murder of Father Patrick Ryan, a murder he spent 20 years in prison for. Reyes, 66, was convicted of beating Ryan, 49, to death in the Sage and San Motel in Odessa by an Ector County jury in June 1983 and sentenced to 38 years in prison. He served 2 decades before being paroled. In March, attorneys from the Innocence Project of Texas put witness after witness on the stand in Whalen's courtroom, and each one testified, there is absolutely no way Reyes could be responsible for the death of the Denver City priest. Moreover, they said, recent discovered fingerprints linking 3 dead men to the murder. After weighing that evidence, Whalen recommended in August the conviction be set aside in a 57-page document called Finding of Facts and Conclusions of Law. The Court of Appeals agreed with Whalen, but the Ector County District Attorney's Office had to file a motion to dismiss the indictment against Reyes, stating his innocence. Now that Whalen's order is signed, the law requires the state to pay Reyes a lump sum of roughly $2.2 million and $80,000 a year for the rest of his life, his attorney, Allison Clayton, has said. Teenager accused of sexually assaulting 7-year-old. A 17-year-old Odessa resident was arrested Friday after being accused of raping a girl who just turned 7 years old. According to Ector County Sheriff's Office report, the girl told a forensic interviewer on November 13th, Kevin Mendoza touched her inappropriately, forced her to perform oral sex on him, and sodomized her, despite her pleas for him to stop. Mendoza was arrested on suspicion of 3 counts of aggravated sexual assault of a child. He was released from the Ector County Jail after surety bonds totaling $450,000 were posted. Odessan killed in Sunday night crash. A 49-year-old Odessa man was killed Sunday night in a 2-vehicle crash on State Highway 158 and South County Road 1140. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, a preliminary investigation revealed Robin Lynn Vance Greer was traveling north on South County Road 1140 in a Ford Escape when he disregarded a stop sign at State Highway 158 and struck the front of a tractor trailer being driven east on State Highway 158 by a 68-year-old man from Bangs. Greer was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which happened at 11:15 p.m.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud for November 20th, 2023. Christmas on the Pecos expansion elevates Carlsbad's stature as Christmas town. November 20th, 2023, by staff report. Carlsbad is already well established as one of the nation's great Christmas towns, but the city went ahead and expanded its annual Christmas on the Pecos celebration anyway. The 32nd event begins right after Thanksgiving and will, for the first time, offer activities on both sides of the river. Carlsbad Mayor Dale Janway described the scene as a Christmas wonderland on both sides of the new footbridge. Along with the usual boat tours, the Carlsbad Chamber of Commerce is adding a 15 to 20 minute journey on a 16-passenger kiddie train along the river sidewalk, with participants purchasing golden tickets as boarding passes, akin to boarding the Polar Express. The train will travel in part through Elftown, which consists of 9 small facades of houses resting on top of snowy mountains, according to Janway. A 20-foot-tall lighted dome will house various vendors, and a life-size snow globe will provide opportunities for family photos. Another cool feature, the lights on the event's 26-foot musical Christmas tree sync to holiday tunes. Here are upcoming Christmas on the Pecos events to note. November 24th and 25th, Shopping Under the Stars, magical opportunity for Christmas shopping. November 25th, tree lighting ceremony. The 26-foot musical Christmas tree will light up the night sky in the beach area. The ceremony will take place after the electric light parade. Food vendors, music, and a speech from the mayor are planned. December 1st and 2nd, Music Fest, tentative. December 8th and 9th, Winter Wine Festival. December 15th and 16th, Hot Air Balloons. December 22nd and 23rd, Movie Weekend, The Polar Express, and Saving Santa shown both nights. December 30th and 31st, Gaming Weekend, Jump Houses, Video Game Truck, Cornhole, Mini Golf, Face Painting, Music, and more. December 31st, Fireworks Show presented by Chevron. For more information and to purchase boat ride tickets, visit the Christmas on the Pecos website here. Find this story and audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station at www.recordinglibrary.org live stream.
This is the Dear Abby column. Boss has taken advantage of employee's kind offer. Dear Abby, my boss, who recently separated from her husband and is getting divorced, has moved within walking distance of work. The problem is she can't drive, and her daughter needs to be taken to and from school. I offered to help her out with her daughter, but now she's asking me to take her everywhere she needs to go. I have been accommodating and have done this for a couple of months, but she has never offered me any money toward gas in my car, even though she's always bragging about all the things she has ordered off the internet. I never offered to be her chauffeur. I work third shift, which is hard enough, and have my own child to take care of during the day. How can I tell her it's got to stop without hurting her feelings? I am getting close to losing control and telling her off. Everyone I know is advising me to stop, and she's just using me. Signed, Used in the Midwest. Dear Used, explain to your boss, politely, that you were glad to help her out temporarily by making sure her child had transportation to and from school. But you have responsibilities outside of work that preclude your continuing to serve as her chauffeur. Then tell her that if you are going to continue driving her child, you will need to be reimbursed for the fuel you expend doing it, something she seems to have forgotten. Speaking up is not rude or hurtful. It's called being assertive. Dear Abby, should I be upset that my grandchildren have a step-grandfather who has no children of his own and is always giving money and other gifts to my grandchildren? I bought my 18-year-old grandson a used car with the understanding that he would repay me in installments when he started working. He did just that, and then he had a fender bender, so I helped him get it partially repaired. I made the same deal with him as before. I paid for the repairs. He again repaid me in installments. Well, one of the doors has a large dent and won't open. Now he has sweet-talked his step-grandfather into shopping for another car. My grandson doesn't want to fix the door because it's easier to get his step-grandfather to buy him another car. Should I be upset about this? What should I tell his step-grandfather? Signed, Frustrated Grandfather. Dear Grandfather, I can see why you would be concerned. You have been trying to not only help your grandson, but also teach him responsibility. His well-meaning step-grandfather is interfering with that. By all means, have a discussion with him because step-grandpa is being manipulated. If he really wants to help your grandson, he should consider treating him to driving lessons. Dear Abby, isn't it considered bad manners to comment about the length of time someone spends in the restroom? Several times when I've been out with people at a restaurant or bar, someone has commented, "That was quick," when I return to the table. I want to tell them the comment is inappropriate. Any suggestions for an appropriate response that isn't too snarky would be appreciated. Signed, Private Lady in Georgia. Dear Private Lady, try this. Smile at the person and say, "I didn't know you were clocking my action." It's better than saying, "That's because I didn't take the time to wash my hands. Would you like me to pass you the bread?" You can write to Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.